Guardian Unlimited.
Howdy! Welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. My name is Paul McInnes. On the programme this week, we've got reviews of Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, Mary J. Blige and Duke Spirit, all your usual feedback and Facebookery. We've got a British Sea Power update, and we've also got Rosie Swash.
Hello.
Hello. She's been talking to Dev from Lightspeed Champion.
Oh boy, have I. We talked about music and blogs and hangovers, and then he played one of my favourite tracks from his album, which is called Dry Lips, and that's coming up later.
Take a step, carve all the horns, the rings are trapped in the door, I sure feel the spit. And everyone is staring, it's also overwhelming. If they didn't look, would I still complain? Of course I would.
You can hear that in full later on, but first.
Energising mix of African pop, US indie and orchestral stylings, Vampire Weekend are making music quite unlike any of their peers. A four-man band, they all met while students at Columbia University, an Ivy League school, all of which makes them reasonably intelligent, and you can find reference to everything from neo-baroque architecture to the collapse of the Argentine Navy in their work.
Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa from Vampire Weekend, although you can also pronounce it Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa if you like. Now, there's already been more than one debate about the band on the Music Weekly blog-o. Does their appropriation of African pop music make them neo-colonists? Does their sporting of cardigans make them neo-conservatives? You know, things like that. Still, we think their music is something of a refreshing change. And when Rosie and I spoke to Ezra and Chris from the band, we started by asking them how they've coped with this sudden rise in attention.
Yeah, our London gigs have been really well. I think kind of like New York, it's like a center of, you know, like there's a lot of people and a lot of people that care about music and that sort of thing. So I think just based on that, like we played pretty small places, so it's not like we're, you know, like selling out like thousands of people or whatever. But yeah, but all the shows have gone really well.
And is this the crowd you're getting? Do you think it's the international hipster set who have who the word travels quickly, or these people who've heard your music already?
Because we still haven't released an album, people who come to see our show are probably a little bit more tuned into music. But the London shows haven't been particularly hipstery. I mean, there have been some people, but and also the occasional like older person. And you know.
I had a chance to listen to your album today for the first time, which both Paul and I both really like. And I was thinking about some of the reference points that you make on a lot of the songs, the kind of Ivy League lifestyle. And one of the conclusions I drew, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's maybe a concept album about being privileged.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, I like the idea of it being a concept album because we wanted the songs to be unified somehow. And definitely, if there are references to privilege on the album, we hope people would think about it as being like conceptual or analytical. Like if you talk about someone taking a vacation somewhere or doing something, people think that you do it. Maybe you're just interested in talking about it or you know people who are like that. So yeah, we think about it more conceptually than anything.
Walk to class in front of ya, spill coffee on your kefir, you look inside, turn to the door, drag your feet along the floor. Then I see you, you're walking across the campus, cool professor studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend? I never want to see you again. How am I supposed to pretend? I never want to see you again.
We're quite class conscious over here. And there's often a lot of, a band will quite readily be kind of bracketed according to its class. Do you worry about being bracketed by your class in the States, or does that sort of thing happen a lot less?
You know, on a certain level, when people imagine like what the Ivy League is, you might have a kind of mystical idea of it being like everybody dressed a certain way and everybody being from some sort of like famous political family and rowing on the river and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, but our school, Columbia, is in New York City, so it's pretty different. there's like vestiges of when the school was more tied to race and class. But overall, I don't think our band actually is that associated with class, and hopefully that comes across. What I've noticed is people seem to get more interested or upset about it when they feel like a band is being dishonest.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the African influence in your music. Bands like Foles over here. Yeah, maybe not so much, but Foles, very explicitly influenced by Afrobeat, something that they've talked about a lot. Why do you think it is that those influences are sort of coming back into music after maybe 15 years of them being left to one side?
It's never fair to generalize, but if you did want to generalize about what a lot of bands sounded like the past 5 years, it would be probably a kind of like rock and roll revivalist vibe, and that whenever something becomes oversaturated like that, everybody naturally just wants to do anything but that. But also there are certain ways that it's linked to other music that people have been interested in. I definitely look up to The Clash, and I imagine a lot of other bands too, and if you just like take them as an example of always going out and exploring other music, including African music, you'll naturally gravitate towards other sounds.
What aspect of, I mean, let's say kind of Tsuku music, do you think have you most directly influenced your own sound?
Well, I think it's very specifically comes across in the guitar and the drums, because one thing about our band, we all agreed that we didn't like distorted guitar, which might have something to do with growing up in the 90s and listening to grunge a lot. So we really wanted to have clean guitars. And I think that's what people pick up on in our music, is it's such a simple thing to have this kind of clean, chimey, high guitar, but it really is evocative and makes you think of African music. Drum beats, what we liked about it is that even though people would be playing a traditional drum set, it's amazing how many beats you've heard a lot, and how there are even these trends of beats, like this like hi-hat thing that again is like really disco-punky that everybody does.
You're talking about it being evocative there, and there's also something about it, and this may be kind of either me being naive or kind of being simplistic in the way I react to the music, but it also sounds happy. It brings a smile to your face. Is that something that you feel yourselves?
Yeah, I think there was definitely kind of thing to kind of keep an energy up, and you know, and like one thing was partially because of a technical limitation, and partially because it was a good decision. Like a lot of the songs are kind of have a four on the floor, which is a very dance music thing.
One of the ways that music's changed in the last few years is obviously the influence that the internet has over the way music's put out, the way bands are received by the world. And you're a band whose buzz grew online, and it was obviously something that you could watch, you could observe in a way that is also new. And I just wondered how it felt, how it feels to watch yourself sort of grow online, and how much of an influence that has on what you put out.
It seemed like it was kind of just like a technologically faster way of like tape trading. It doesn't feel like this kind of like tide of new media. Like it was just kind of like kids where 20 years ago, they would have just told their friends in their hometown, but now they can just, you know, spend like 2 minutes and put it on whatever blog that they have. And so that just, you know, it kind of seemed like just like an update of that. But I don't know, I mean, my perspective isn't that great because I don't really like the internet that much.
Unfortunately, maybe more bands are going to get press that wouldn't have gotten it in the past, and ultimately it might prove worthless, but at the same time, I think good music will transcend that. Who gives a fuck about an Oxford comma? I climbed the Durham Shallow too.
Stage are you at now? Are you does this album already feel old to you? Are you still excited about it? Are you looking at the next thing?
We're definitely still excited, and just like a week or two ago we got the first promo copies, which was a very kind of exciting moment. But I think also very much because we did start recording this album like almost 2 years ago at this point, that we're very much kind of looking forward and And hopefully, like, we can record again soon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess we'll see.
Your sound, is that going to evolve as you go forward? Or do you think there's more for you to explore in the kind of field you're already in?
I feel like we've evolved a process that hopefully will allow us to kind of keep making similar songs, but still doing whatever we want. And we were on break over the holidays, and I spent a lot of time, like, researching and renting movies for what I think, like, the second album could be like.
Renting movies?
Yeah.
What sort of movies are you watching?
Well,
do you want to give it away?
One movie that I rented that somehow, I don't know why I wanted to rent it, somehow I just got in my head, I have to see this movie. It was a famous movie that I never saw. It's Selena, which was one of Jennifer Lopez's breakthrough roles. I imagine this movie wasn't very popular in England.
About the Mexican singer who died in a plane crash.
Close. She was a singer from Texas who became very popular in Mexico and was murdered.
So there we go, with me proving I have absolutely no knowledge of Jennifer Lopez's movie career. Next week, we'll probably be asking the black kids about Made in Manhattan. But until then, you can get the new Vampire Weekend album this week. And tickets are now on sale for a short tour next month in London, Wolverhampton, Oxford and Brighton. Moving on, it's time for Singles Club, the oral version of the textual feature you'll find on the site each Tuesday. And joining us to review the singles this week, it's Tim Jones.
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Tim.
How you doing?
Were you at the Morrissey Roundhouse series last week? Check him out. Was it you that botched his throat?
No comment.
No comment. I thought that might be the case. So what we'll do is we'll move swiftly on into the first single we're reviewing this week, and that is Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. This is Please Read the Letter.
Understand me, my walls came falling down. There's nothing here that's left for you but check with lost and found.
Please Read the Letter by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. Alison Krauss is a famous American bluegrass singer. Robert Plant is a famous British red snapper aficionado. This track is taken from their collaborative album Raising Sand, which is not about trying to develop parenting skills in the desert. Both popular with critics and the public, Raising Sand is lingering around the top 10 of the album charts, so this might do well too. Tim Jones, does it accord with your tastes?
Not really. I think me and Rosie were talking earlier. We're going to have one of our legendary arguments.
Characteristic ding-dong.
But I first read about this song, sort of the musicians were sort of praising it in the press, and I thought it was a misprint or that they were joking.
What, an entire, like, paragraphs and paragraphs of misprints?
Yeah, well, I thought they'd got the song wrong or something, because it's so slow and it's just so mature and I just look at his wrinkly face and I just don't want to hear.
So what we're saying here is it might not go down with the kids all that well. I think that somehow there is a sincerity to this tune.
Yes.
But I think the only thing that kind of makes me feel that way is because he sings in a Robert Plant, famous for all that kind of vocal histrionics, sings in quite an understated way. Is there other reasons?
Well, yeah, possibly his history and his history with Led Zeppelin and their misdemeanours. But it's got a lot to do with how their voices work together. It creates a really nice, subtle sort of harmony there and how different they are as performers. But what Tim was saying about this song being slow, I think obviously meant that it's a real slow burn for it to get to the climax at the end where all the instruments are...
Yeah, but I mean, why wait for something that kind of burbles along into the middle distance? I mean,
because it sounds nice. I don't understand. It's almost as if you two don't understand the meaning of music. The point of listening to music.
I don't. That's why I come in here. So.
It goes on for more than a minute. What is this?
But because it doesn't. It just doesn't stir any emotions in me. And I have to say, it's just dead inside. Please Read the Letter by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss is out now, and the less said about that, the better. Second on Singles Club, we have Mary J. Blige and Just Fine. So I like what I see when I'm looking at me when I'm walking past the mirror. Don't stress through the night at a time, and my life ain't worried about if you feel it. Got my head on straight, I got my vibe right, I ain't gonna let you kill it. That's Just Fine by Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige, who has sold more than 40 million albums worldwide, is known as the Queen of Hip-Hop Soul, which sounds like a slightly niche title to us. The single is taken from her eighth studio album, Growing Pains, which is not a reflection on her teenage years. The video for this track is the usual parade of outfit wearing, but she does at least unleash lightning from her hands for a bit. Work that one out. Rosie.
Well, Mary J. Blige, she transcends her genre. She's fantastic. This track is more along the lines of, I guess, Family Affair, which was the last big dancey one she did. And I guess, you know, I mean, it's not the best thing she's ever done. I don't absolutely love it, but I like the fact that she's got to a point where she's happy. And if you go back all over the legacy of her career, you can see all the points where she was struggling.
Yeah, what is she, I mean, if this is an autobiographical song, what is it she's taught? What is it she's referring to?
She's saying
to
she's
here?
Ready to just have fun and not let her personal, whatever was wrong with her personal life, get her down anymore. She's obviously very happy. It's a carefree song, isn't it? It's just, I'm fine, let's all have a dance.
to me, it sounds like a song sung by a woman undergoing HRT. Tim Jones, your feeling?
I kind of agree with Rosie, actually. I like it, but I think it is kind of treading water a little bit. And because these days you expect an R&B song or a pop song to be pushing the boundaries more than an indie record, then you kind of feel a little bit like, whatever.
Because this is quite, it seems to be referencing very, very closely kind of the early 80s kind of soul sound.
Yeah, it actually sort of samples Michael Jackson's Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Ah. Tim, do you think that soul divas, even hip-hop soul divas, have a shelf life?
Not really, no. Not if they keep making good records. I think it's quite a sort of white boy indie phenomenon to need to retire by the time you're sort of 28.
So there's no threat from people like Rihanna to...
Well, I think there is a threat in terms of the records, basically, because Rihanna's record sounds so much more advanced than that does. But it's kind of a bit harsh to criticise a record because it's not, you know, one of the best records of the year.
And it's kind of danceable, isn't it, really? You do kind of want
to... It's
good. You want to dance with it. She's like your friendly aunt.
She's like your friendly aunt.
Yeah,
she's putting together a salad. She's slipping a bit of cheese and bacon in there to make it a little bit more tasty, and she's dancing around the kitchen, and you just want to dance with her.
I think that's the biggest diss. I think if she's tuned in for the podcast this week, she will not be happy.
I've got Mary J. Blige on the phone! That's Mary J. Blige, and that single, Just Fine, is out now. Last track on Singles Club this week is Duke Spirit and The Step and the Walk. As The Step and the Walk by Duke Spirit. The Duke Spirit have five members, which can be quite expensive when it comes to booking rooms in a travelodge when you're on tour. With a decent rock edge to their music, they've supported bands like Queens of the Stone Age, Mercury Rev, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and, well, Razorlight. They once released an EP covering songs by people who'd recently died. Tim Jones, I turn to you. What are your thoughts?
That was a Mel C song, I Turn to You.
Man, you're a pop encyclopedia.
I really like it. I think on the surface, it is the kind of stale garage rock that went out of date about 3 years ago.
On the surface.
But I think there's something amazing about this band because I think they give it a lot of energy and life. And I think Layla's vocals are really quite sexy.
I find it dull, 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 mate. There's no variation throughout the track at all. It's those same three chords. But when it has that kind of breakdown at the middle eight and nothing happens, and she sounds very much like a cross between... Well, a bit like a Beth Ditto, but kind of turned down to five. And I'm not sure that's necessarily
a good thing. She's at least six and a half.
Rosie, do you see what I'm trying to get at?
I can't get I Turn to You out of my head now. I'll see some. So now it sounds really good. I see what you're getting at, and I do think there is a stale garage rock element to it. I think that she sounds better, even though she's really gorgeous. She's not necessarily... She doesn't do much on stage. But she does sound great, and there's something... like sort of Grace Slick about her, Jefferson Airplane, about that as well, I think. It almost sounds like it could be a Northern Soul track if it was a bit lighter and a bit more up-tempo.
I mean, I think basically if you wear kind of black and white winkle pickers, you should go out and pick up this track this week. And indeed, it's out now. That's The Step and the Walk by Duke Spirit. Quick few thoughts from your reviews of last week's singles from the blog. Marquee said of Noah and the Whale, I agree with the general disinterests. by the way. We were generally disinterested with regards to Knowing the Whale on the pod last week. They're pretty vapid mortgage indie, this is Marquee again, and unadventurous when it comes to the songs, that's still Marquee. They've dressed them up to sound like Arcade Fire, Stroke Bell and Sebastian Light, unfortunately without the rapture of the former or the wit of the latter. Nice phraseology, son. EJD had generally positive things to say about Hot Chip and Kanye West, even before he'd heard last week's programme. That, incidentally, is not a practice we encourage, but we'll let EJD off. Remember, you can leave your reviews on this week's tracks, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, Mary J. Blige and Duke Spirit, on the blog at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. Tell us what you think of those three and these others that are heading towards you now.
Lover, please do not fall to your knees. It's not like I believe in everlasting love.
Laura Marling and Ghosts.
Take me through this night till the dawning.
Richard Hawley and Valentine.
I see a warning in your eyes.
And no, no, baby, it's just something up now. I've seen it all before, wanna fall in this town.
Opera House and Born a Boy. And Sasha with Who Killed Sparky? Ah, the montage. I really thought we were going to get to the end of a montage there without any Euro House or trance. Didn't quite manage it, did we? Anyway, thanks very much, Tim Jones, for coming in to join us for Singles Club today. Appreciate it, Tim.
Had a good time, apart from my argument with Rosie.
Sorry about that. I hope you can put it behind
us. No, not really.
Got anything fun planned for the rest of the week?
My birthday.
Hey! How old are you? 22 or something like that?
28.
How can you two row so much when you quite obviously care so much about each other? I think you need to put all this enmity behind you. Anyway, Tim, thanks so much. See you again soon. And that is it. Truly it for this week's Singles Club. But catch Rosie's column each week at guardian.co.uk/music with added videos. Next on Music Weekly, we'll be talking to a guy who, according to the NME, is responsible for everything that's good in popular music, though this mainly involves him introducing indie kids to grime and thinking of stupid names for bands. Anyway, they might be right, for here is Dev Hynes, a.k.a. Lightspeed Champion.
Devonte Hynes, a.k.a. Dev Hynes, a.k.a. Lightspeed Champion, is a singer-songwriter from the trendier end of London. In a previous incarnation, he was the leader of the electro-punk band Test Icicles, a group that had a lot of influence and devoted fans, but imploded after barely 18 months together. Lightspeed Champion is a sharp departure from the past, however. His new album, a collection of primarily acoustic songs.
That's Galaxy of the Lost by Lightspeed Champion and Rosie. You've been speaking to him, haven't you?
Indeed I have. We spoke for quite a long time. Most of it involving me telling him how much I like his new album and him being so very self-deprecating and not seeming to understand why everyone liked it so much. But I started off by asking him to explain the meaning behind the title of that album, which is Falling Off the Lavender Bridge.
I've always had trouble sleeping kind of since as early as I can remember. And my mother gave me a lavender frog. And I used to kind of put it next to my pillow and sleep with it. So it's kind of a reference to that, and the Lavender Bridge is almost like the crossing from nighttime till the morning. And falling off it is kind of how I felt during the period of writing.
Well, that all makes sense in what I pick up from the album, leaving the sort of musical arrangements and that kind of thing to one side.
theme-wise, it seems very much it's about, I think it's sort of one of the first attempts to capture the blog culture we have, or the, I guess, the social networking side of people's lives now. But you're someone who blogs very prolifically. And so is it, you know, is that part of how you came up with the concept for the album?
Only really recently, and that's after the album's been recorded, have I really sat down and wrote lyrics for songs. The lyrics, all apart from two songs on the album, all the lyrics were written in 1 8-hour stretch. There's words that keep coming up because it was just a huge block of writing, like loads of pages. And it's funny because the more dramatic musical moments are about the least dramatic things. Like, I'm gonna assume that my phone is broken. Delivery ports have ruined my life. Half a bowl of cereals left me choking. Choking on time. There's a song called Dry Lips on the album, and it kind of, strings build up and it goes kind of down. There's like high singing and stuff.
But the song's actually about...
The song's about hangover. Like, that's all it's about.
So let's talk about the musical side of it then, because what did you have in mind as you were, all these lyrics are coming out? You know, were you thinking, you know, what musically was going through your mind? What influences? Mm. What were you thinking? This is how I want it to be put down. I want it to be laid out on a track like this.
I had these songs, these kind of weird grunge songs, and then I was like really getting into compositions, and it just seemed to come into my life at a right point, and I was thinking, well, these songs are quite old to me. I wonder what it sounds like if the, like, orchestrations replaced the kind of guitars.
And the album's been almost entirely well received, as far as I can see. It seems to have really struck a chord with people. And I'm pleased about that for several reasons, but one is that I feel with you that you're very self-deprecating, but I'm worried that you're quite sensitive to these things, which is what I wonder why you blog so much, because, you know, on your blog you said, oh, I put this video up on YouTube and people were saying this about me, and so I took it down. Have you coping all right?
I am, actually. It's so funny because...
If someone makes a negative comment about it in a review, does it stick in your mind?
It does. It definitely does. The way I see it is, like, still human. I also think people kind of forget how young I am sometimes.
How old are you?
Well, I just turned 22.
That's very young.
When it comes to reviews, I'm really, really against personal opinion. Who cares about one person's...
You're talking about my job here.
No. I like reviews. I like reviews. But just...
You like my reviews because I give you good ones.
The day the Enemy review came out...
Which was a positive review.
Yeah. I just started freaking out.
You felt like you had a responsibility now? Yeah.
And I've never felt like that, and I've started writing the next album again, completely new. A thousand men suggest, but not a soul in his bed. Just shells and shells.
You're in Test Icicles. For the benefit of listeners who are not, as it was a short-lived band, describe who Test Icicles were in their brief period.
Wow. Okay, there was a group of friends, and we used to form bands kind of every week. You know, it usually stemmed from a band name or an idea, like, wow, we should do this band called Manpower, and it'd be like Macho Electro, which actually happened. We did that. And we'd do stuff like that, and then... one of those bands became Test Icicles, and in a strange twist of fate, I lost my job, and then
And how old were you at this point?
17.
Where were you working?
Marks and Spencer's. Cleaning as well.
Okay.
And it was over a period of about a year of like 5 gigs in various places. But each time people kind of kept trying to sign us and we're like, no, we just, this isn't a band. You're not going to get an album out of this. Like, this is, and then, you know, it's one of those decisions. You're 17 and, I mean, I enjoyed doing it, but, you know, it's not going to happen again.
And I guess the other thing that has been said a lot about Falling Off Lavender Bridge, which is your debut, I guess, solo,
yeah,
is that Test Icicles were, if I guess a sort of reductive way of describing it, is a noise punk kind, yeah, of electro, but it's just lots of noise going on,
yeah,
and maybe part of the whole new rave idea.
Yeah.
And your new album couldn't be further away from that.
It's like the uncoolest. I think my album's so uncool.
But that's great. That's great.
Is it, though?
Okay, so this is the end of your rampant self-promotion.
Oh, God. Seriously,
I'm so
bad. I did an in-store tour last week, kind of just to lead up to it. And I ended up just telling people they can get my album on Z-Share. They just type in Google.
But the label were really happy with that. That was Dev Hynes, who is Lightspeed Champion, and his album Falling Off the Lavender Bridge is out now. Go and buy it. It's fantastic. And a live track from him follows in just 2 minutes' time.
You love him, don't you? But before we hear that, a bit more from last week's blog. Terence Stomp, who, as far as we know, isn't a pseudonym for the wheat-intolerant actor Terence Stamp, thought last week's programme was a good and thought-provoking podcast as ever. Isn't that charming? It's about the first nice thing anybody's ever said. Mozwerk, like the John Power interview. Another contender for the nicest guy in British music. I'd like to see him go head-to-head with Guy Garvey in a nice-off. I don't know, at Elbow have got a new album coming out, so we should maybe see if we can get him in. A discussion started where I revealed I shattered my humerus, that's the bone at the top of your arm, at a Primal Scream concert way back when, and Marquee responded by revealing how he was assaulted many a musician, nearly dropping Flavor Flav at a Public Enemy gig in Newcastle, and accidentally pushing Love Fox into a hot lamp. Accidental indeed. Please share all your concert injury experiences with us. But one of the themes on the blog, of course, in recent weeks, has been your ongoing obsession with British sea power, and we thought it was only right if we indulged you in that obsession. And so this week, for 1 week only, and for about 1 minute only, we've got Martin from the band live on the phone from Brighton. Hello, Martin.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing just fine, thank you very much. And I suppose really what we want to give our listeners is just an update on you, you know, so they just know where you are and that you're all safe and sound. But, I mean, I suppose we have to start with one member of your band, Phil Sumner, who is, yeah, not particularly well. Can you just give us the update on that?
Yeah, he's all right now, actually. In Leeds, he jumped off the speaker stack. He said that he saw a girl texting and his instant reaction was to jump on her and landed on his chin, and he got 8 stitches in his chin and cracked 3 teeth. But he had his stitches out and his teeth repaired yesterday, so he's fine now.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Does that mean he's some kind of textophiliac? He has a kind of sexual thing about text, or does he just not like people texting in gigs?
I think he just gets carried away. It could have been a different action on another day.
Is he something of a loose cannon?
Yeah, he can. Yeah. So he was following my example on the first night. I jumped to try and grab hold of a column in the middle of the room and smashed my face, cheekbone first. We're all rubbing lavender in our bruises today, aren't they?
It'll just be people kind of in traction on stage by the end of the tour. Now, can you just say, well, we know this is your one day off, and you've been punished by being the only person who went to bed at a reasonable time, has then been forced to come and do media, and we're very sorry about that. But maybe if you can just give us 2 quick BSP facts we can leave on, what's coming up for you?
After this, we've got the Jules Holland show with Morrissey.
That's one for Tim Jones, if he's listening.
Yeah, I know. We're going to dedicate waving flags to him. He'll like that. Oh, we're going to America for 3 months as well, so we're kind of excited and extremely scared by that.
Will you have an appropriate region DVD player for the tour bus?
I severely hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, make sure that's on the checklist. But thank you very, very much for speaking to us, Martin, today. We're going to let you get back to your day off. And that is your BSP update.
Are we sure we haven't just phoned Tim Jones? Because he sounds a lot like him.
I don't know. I didn't dial the number. It was producer Scott. Anyway, no, it wasn't Tim Jones. It was Martin for British Sea Power. And thank you so much again to him for getting in touch with us on his day off. Anyway, a final bit of housekeeping is to say hello to all our Facebook friends that I finally got around to adding this week. Sorry for the delay. I am rubbish. But our hand of friendship has been extended to... Deep breath. Alexander Broad, Jack Toasterboy Gargrave, Celine Pico, Left Hand Red, Andy Richards, Alex Wisgard, Ben Irving, Ellen Edvinson, Jonathan Cornish, Matthew Joseph Atkinson, Stephen Smith, Matsu Folk, John Thompson, John Szymanski, Pauline H, James Greenfield, Maria Lou, Scott from Scotland, Tim Jolly, Linda Bewley, Jack Griffin, Beatrice Rubio, Angela Phillips, Sophia Khan, Mike Moran, and Sjoz Prod. Woo, you could be our friend too, you know. It will make your life more enjoyable and almost worth living. Just search for Guardian Unlimited Music at facebook.com and add us. It's as simple as pressing a button and then looking at the page and wondering, why is nothing happening? And then, just as you're about to quit your browser, the page goes and reloads. Done it. Anyway, do that and we'll be in touch. We are back next Thursday. Register now to get the podcast sent straight to your computer or MP3 player for free. Nish, nada. All you need to do to get all the information on how to do that via iTunes or via Guardian Limited is to log right on to our blog at guardian.co.uk/music. That's it for this week. Thanks to Rosie.
Thank you, goodbye.
Thank you, goodbye. And thanks to Tim too. We'll leave you with music from Lightspeed Champion. This is Dry Lips.
In my sides, and my bags are overspilling. This leads me to think my guts have started to boil, and my bags are overspilling. Thank you, my friends. Stop is not Echo Park, so I shut my eyes, I pretend instead. You don't have to tell me this is right. I know, but I can't erase 2 years of my life. Even in my dreams, if you show up, I'm unhappy. Take a step, carve all the horns. The rings are trapped in the door, I sure feel the spit. And everyone is staring, it's also overwhelming. If they didn't look, would I still complain? Of course I would. Disquiet and preoccupation, the keys to a nightmare which I tape and make sure I watch daily. This required a careful touch and a swinging chain. Put the salty water in my broken wounds. Tell her I'll give up, he's won, and I have lost all my humanity. Tell her I'll give up, give this planet another 10 years at least. Tell her, tell her, tell her, tell her.
Guardian Unlimited.